do two verses tonight that are full of wonderful, wonderful truth, all about Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. We'll read them and then look into them. They're precious. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Praise the Lord. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and its name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We have five names there. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice or righteousness, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Oh my, thank the Lord. Well, I couldn't get out of these two verses today. They are full of wonderful, wonderful truth. The more that we know of him, the more we want to know of him. As we gave the translation last week in the Hebrew for verse 6, it reads, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, with scepter on his shoulder, his name shall be called Wonderful, exclamation mark, Counselor, in the same, El Gabor, the Mighty God, and Aviad, the Father of Eternity, and then Shalom, the Prince of Peace. So we have five names there. And in this, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, we see Jesus here in his humanity as well as his deity. In the 7th chapter and the 14th verse, we see him, Jesus appeared here as a sign. Notice here, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which, as we know, means God with us. God with us. Now, in this verse tonight that we have, here he is seen as a gift to mankind, a gift of grace. I like that scripture in John 1, that he was full of grace and truth. That's a wonderful scripture. This newborn infant was to be the glorious fulfillment of this son who is to have the government upon his shoulders. That's going to be quite a responsibility, but he can do it. Let's read chapter 22, verse 22 of Isaiah. I'm going to read it in another scripture here. Isaiah 22:22. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. He's going to have the authority. And thank the Lord, it's going to be upon his shoulder and not natural man's. Now let's go to Revelation 3:7. This is quoted from this in Isaiah. But this is written to the Church of Philadelphia, who represent the full overcomers who will be translated. And he's talking about here about an open door. And I'm going to read down here just a ways. There's an open door in heaven for us, and we're going to go through that very soon. Revelation 3:7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath a key of David. He's going to reign on David's throne. He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works, speaking to the Philadelphia saints. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. This is the door translation. And no man can shut it. We want to go through that door, we can go. And the reason is because, for thou hast a little strength, a little ability. This strength here is not anything natural. This strength is a miraculous power that's given us by God. And the strength that's given to us by God is to do His will, to walk in His will, and to do that which, to walk in the new creation, not to do a lot of other things that we think have to be done, but to do His will. And that's been so wonderful to me. When I first heard that many years ago in Bible school, I think Sister Bodhi brought this out, it stayed with me. You've got a little strength, just enough for today, just enough to do His will, and not a lot of extra things that we used to think we had to do. And then you've kept my name and has not denied my name, kept my word and not denied my name. This is God's strength. This has nothing to do with the natural, nothing at all. Now, the natural strength was put in that grave, and that which He gives us today comes from Him. He measures it out for us just to walk today in His will. Praise the Lord. Oh, that's a wonderful truth. Glad this is His word. This is His word that we give out. We've always given out His word in this place. And it's not anything we say, but it's the word of God. And I thank the Lord for that. But this is what we give out. Praise the Lord. So all the official rights and divine majesty will be upon Him. All the official rights and the majesty of this glorious kingdom is going to be upon Him. Let's read Psalms 21. Oh, these scriptures tonight just send us into the future. Praise the Lord. And we're not there already. Let's ask the Lord to translate this to this time when He is going to reign. Psalms 21, verses 5 and 6. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon Him, for thou hast made Him most blessed forever. Praise the Lord. Or made Him in the Hebrew, it settest Him to be blessings. Thou hast made Him exceeding glad with thy countenance. And thank the Lord He has. Praise the Lord. So He has been set already. See, He's been set to He's been set to be blessings, not only to us now, but to the nation Israel. And of course, Isaiah is written mainly to the nation Israel. We really get so much out of it for us, but it's mainly to Israel. Isaiah handed this prophecy down to people in succeeding ages. And this prophecy, so much of it yet awaits fulfillment. There's so much in the Word, and we're going to get into some scriptures tonight. In the types, every type in the Old Testament is going to have its fulfillment. Every type, and we're going to touch upon one of them tonight. It's wonderful. So in Jesus' name here that we're going to look into, we have a combination of all the Old Testament titles that are used to describe and point to Him. Now, we studied these, and I was thinking today how wonderful it would be to get all of these titles in a book. We went through them, and it would be so wonderful. I would love to do it. We got a note from Marlene this week, and she says, when you get Isaiah in a book form, let me know. She just has no idea what it takes to get a book in order. And I told her, I said, I don't think we'll be here that long. If you want the tapes, you better get the tapes. I wrote her back. All right. This is the only verse where we find these titles enumerated so closely together. The only verse in the Bible where we have these wonderful names of Him. What a commentator said, they're crowded together. I like that. Now, what are they? The first one is wonderful. Strong's in his concordance. It's from the root word to separate. And he was separate from his brethren, wasn't he? That is to distinguish by implication, to be great. And this word kind of caught my attention. Difficult. Difficult. He is difficult for some people, isn't he? They just can't believe who he is. And then a miracle. And this word is also used in, let's turn to Isaiah 29. We're going to be looking up scriptures tonight. 29 verses 13 and 14. Praise the Lord. Oh, this word, rich and powerful. 29:13 and 14. Wherefore the Lord said, forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, talking to Israel, and it can be any individual, and their fear toward me is taught, or a commandment of man which hath been taught. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. It's from that wonderful. This work is going to be a wonder. When he begins to judge this nation and the world, it is going to be a wonder. And this wonderful one is going to do it. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. When he comes, all of this is going to be fulfilled. Then I want to go to Judges, the 13th chapter. This is a precious portion. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to teach the word. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to do it. The Lord knows that. But there's so much in this word, and when we're able to do it and to give it out, we want to give it out every bit that will help us to grow in the Lord. In Judges 13, we have the story of the birth of Samson, and I want to read it down. It's a wonderful account here. In the book of Judges, we have judges that God raises up. Israel failed, and God raised a judge up. But in this 13th chapter, we read in the first verse, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Just think of that. And there was a certain man of Zorah, and of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. His name means rest. And his wife was barren and bare not. There's one of those women. We're not given her name, she's just the wife. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman. Now notice where he came, is to the woman. And he said unto her, behold, now thou art barren, as if she didn't know it already. But he was pointing out to her weakness. And he says, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son, but you're going to have fruit. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. Very terrible, or this word terrible is awe-inspiring. Now this was Jesus himself. But I asked him not whence he came, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord. I love this man. He's a poor, dear man. And he said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. Now this shows that this man had faith in the Lord. He knew this child was going to be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman, not to him, as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, and this man stood there waiting for Manoah to come. This is so precious. He knew. And he asked, art thou the man that spaketh unto the woman? And he said, I am. Now keep in mind who's standing there. This one wonderful is standing there. He's God. And he's just standing there waiting for this man to come and talk to him. And Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order this child, or what shall be his work? And how shall we do unto him? The first one is what shall be the manner of this child, or the second, and what shall be his work? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. This word beware is take heed. He told her not to, as we had in the fourth verse, and she was to take heed. She wasn't to go away from his instruction. She was to abstain herself from anything that would defile, is the thought here. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat of any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let me detain thee until we have made ready a kid for thee. What's the kid speak of? Christ. This is the substitute. This is the goat. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. He couldn't. And if thou wilt offer, because he wasn't a man yet. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. he was going to honor the angel as a prophet here, and not as God, as the Lord himself. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is wonderful? That word secret is wonderful. It's wonderful. Praise the Lord. This is him. So Manoah took this kid, and he offered it up with a meal offering, and offered it upon a rock. There we have Christ. Unto the Lord. Here, the Lord here is the Lord who worketh wondrously. And the Manoah and his wife looked on, or they stood there and watched this. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. In that part. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. They knew who it was then, didn't they? But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. I think his wife had more faith really than Manoah, but notice what she says. But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meal offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as thee. See, if he was going to kill them, Samson wouldn't have been born. And this woman knew this. And Manoah thought, since they'd seen the Lord, that he was going to kill them. But his wife, not giving her name, just that she had faith in the Lord. And this is what's so precious to me when we studied this many years ago. It was so precious. But the fulfillment of this was based upon sacrifice, as we read there in verse 23. It's called a burnt offering that they offered unto the Lord. And the burnt offering, as we know, always speaks of Christ offering every bit of himself to the Lord. He was flayed. He was laid open, as Leviticus 1 tells us. Praise the Lord. All right, that's the first name. And that's the most wonderful account of it there. It's wonderful. It's secret. Praise the Lord. All right, let's look at the next name, Counselor. Again, Jesenius, he gives the meaning as one who consults, that is, that cares for and protects. Cares for and protects. Now, this is what he does to each one of us. One who consults, cares for, and protects. Strong's, in the concordance, it means to advise, to deliberate, and to resolve. To resolve, I like that one. In other words, you get the answer and it's settled. He's a counselor because the spirit of counsel, he possessed this spirit of counsel. As we read in, let's go to the 11th chapter in the second verse. Well, let's read the first along with it. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem or the stump of Jesse, and a branch, this is Jesus Christ here, as seen in Matthew, shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel, there we have it, and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So he is this counselor because the Spirit of counsel was upon him. He possessed this. When Satan used man to try to put him in a corner when he was down here on this earth, or to condemn him, he didn't have to turn to anybody to get an answer. He knew what to do. He didn't take his counsel from anybody. He is the counselor. Okay, let's go to Romans. Well, let's go to Isaiah, the 40th chapter first, and then we'll go to Romans. Isaiah 40, I want to read from the 12th verse. If you want to realize how humble we are, get reading the Word. Get studying the Word. I tell you, when you read scriptures like this, you think, well, I'm nothing really without him, and we're not. Isaiah 40 in the 12th verse. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Nobody did. No one. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as a small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof as sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are accounted to him less than nothing and vanity. See, as we see, as God sees, these things don't bother us, do they? All right, let's go in over to Romans and see this. Paul picks this up in the Romans 11 in the 34th verse. I want to read the 33rd verse too. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. He's everything, isn't he? He is everything. I like that 36th verse. Of him, through him, and to him are all things. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go back. Oh, let's read 1 Corinthians 2:16. We had it just lately. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, or the understanding of Christ, and we do. All right, let's go to Ephesians 1:11. Talks about counsel. Ephesians 1:11. Well, we have to pick up with the 10th verse. that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that's the age we're living in now, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after or according to the counsel of his own will. Do we believe that? When we get into a real tough trial, do we really believe this? He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And I've circled that word all. Whatever it is, he worketh it according to his will. Counsel of his own will. What a verse. All right, let's go back over to Isaiah 25 and the first verse. This word, every bit of it, is marvelous. Isaiah 25:1. O Lord, thou art my God, Isaiah speaking. I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Isn't that precious? Faithfulness and truth. All right, let's go to the Psalms. Psalm 16, we'll read two verses out of the Psalms. There's so many, and they're so wonderful on each of these. But Psalm 16 and the 7th verse. You know, we can go to him for counsel. And as the meaning of that word means in the Strong's, he advises us. And he deliberates with us. He wants to know if our mind is going to take his counsel, if we're going to be willing to take his counsel. And then the last meaning is resolve. That he resolves the problem, whatever it is. Isn't that a wonderful meaning? Mm-hmm. I like that. These are practical truths. Psalm 16 and the 7th verse. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons, or my innermost being. And then Psalm 73:24. These are practical truths. They're things that we run into as we walk with the Lord. Psalms 73:24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. That's the wonderful part about it. Well, we receive his counsel, and then as we walk with him, he will receive us into glory. Praise the Lord. Isn't that precious? All right. We can have him as our counselor. That's wonderful. Go to this book. This is our counsel right here. All right, the next title is The Mighty God, or El Gibor, E-L, and then capital G-I-B-B-O-R, or The Lord is Might. God, the word El is God, and you notice the last syllable of Emmanuel, El is God, God with us. And so it declares to us the deity of Jesus Christ. So it's El Gibor, the mighty God. Gibor means powerful, and by implication, it means a warrior, a valiant man, a champion, a chief, and a military leader. I'll repeat them. A warrior, a valiant man, a champion, and he is, isn't he? A chief and a military leader. When he comes out of glory in Revelation 19, he's that military leader. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Isaiah 42:13. Praise the Lord. I tell you, I got so full of this today as I study it. It's just such a privilege to study the Word. All right. 42:13, I'll read it in the King James first. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. And I want to read this in the Hebrew. Jehovah goes forth as a strong man of war, stirs up his zeal as a hero. A war cry he shouts, a terrible cry. And over his foes is the victor. This is what he's going to do one of these days when he comes out of the glory. all of his enemies down here are going to be subject unto him. They're going to be subdued. His power is that which gives life and action to all the perfections of his divine nature. And I'm going to read something that I took out of one of the commentaries. It reads, "The power of God is that ability and strength whereby he can bring to pass whatsoever he pleases, whatsoever his infinite wisdom may direct, and whatsoever the infinite purity of his will may resolve. As holiness is the beauty of all God's attributes, so power is that which gives life and action to all the perfections of the divine nature. How vain would be the eternal counsels if power did not step in to execute them." It wouldn't be any good, would they? If all the counsels of God were there and he had no power to execute his plan and his purposes. He has this power. And everything that's written in this book, he has the power to bring it to pass. Praise the Lord. Without power, his mercy would be but feeble pity. His promises an empty sound. His threatenings a mere scarecrow. God's power is like himself, infinite, eternal, incomprehensible. It can neither be checked, restrained, nor frustrated by the creature. No creature can frustrate the power of God. He's going to fulfill everything that's written in this book, and we can depend upon it. We can depend upon him in our everyday life. He has the power to strengthen us, and he gives us this power. Praise the Lord. The majesty and power of God's word lays man in the dust. Let's go over to Isaiah 63. We're dependent. We're weak without him. And some of us are going through times that of weakness, that God allows this, that we will draw on him for strength. Not natural strength, but for divine strength. Because he doesn't give natural strength. He gives divine strength. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 63:1. Well, there's a lot here, but this is when he comes and he begins to trod down the nations. We're going to read all of it. Let's read from the first verse a little ways. "Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel." This is Christ, "traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save." And go on down there in the fourth verse, "For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come." There is coming a day when he's going to come out of the glory, and everything in this world is going to be turned upside down when he comes. Let's read Isaiah 30:29. That's what this book of Isaiah is all about, and it's going to be a wonderful day. Well, a lot of it is about it anyway. 30 and the 29th verse. "Ye shall have a song as in the night when a holy solemnity is kept and gladness of heart, as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel." Here again we have him. This is the mighty God, the mighty one of Israel is going to come. And then in 49:26 of Isaiah, we'll see him quite often throughout this. I got out my studies in the titles of Jehovah, and my, all of them are going to be fulfilled. Isaiah 49:26, "And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh." Think of this. This nation today is oppressing the nation of Israel. "And they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine, and all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the mighty one of Jacob." Jacob means the weak one. This remnant is going to be the weak one. Remember Jacob, when he was made weak? What happened? What did God do to him then? But what did he do? He changed his name to Israel, Prince of God. It was Jacob before that he had to be weak, become weak before he became a prince with God. This, well, let's see, I have Isaiah 10:21. We need want to read that. I jotted several of these down kind of last minute. Isaiah 10:21, and I believe this is one of those. Yes, this is when the remnant is going to come and the Lord will appear to them. Let's read the 20th verse. Isaiah 10:20. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped to the house of Jacob, the weak ones again, shall no more again stay upon him that smote them. This will be the Antichrist. But shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. Here's this mighty God, see? Now, the first time this is mentioned is in Deuteronomy 10:17. This title, the mighty God. Deuteronomy 10:17. Read these scriptures and they're just marvelous, the truth that's in them. 10:17. For the Lord your God is a God of gods, and the Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. In other words, he's no respecter of persons, nor does he take a reward. He doesn't need it. Praise the Lord. All right, I'll give you two more. We won't read them, but I'll give them to you so you can look them up later. One, Psalms 24:8, and Jeremiah 32:17-19. All right, let's go to the next one then. 32:17-19. 24:8. Those are all wonderful. Praise the Lord. All right, let's look at the Everlasting Father. This is El Olam. E-L, and then capital O-L-A-M, also called the Father of Eternity. The Father of Eternity. The Father of conditions that shall never change. Never change. Won't that be wonderful? Now, this title designates him not only as the possessor of eternity, but as the tender, faithful, and wise trainer, guardian, and provider for his people, even in eternity. Now, we're getting into some things now that are cause us to look to the time that we're going to be there with him. Let's go to chapter 22:21. Glenn and I got talking about some of this yesterday, and it just boggles our minds. Chapter 22:21 of Isaiah, he talking about Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. Here is a type of Christ. But he says, and I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle. And I will commit thy government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of David. And we read that other one a little bit ago, that he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. This is in eternity. He's the Father of Eternity. Now, the word Olam has two senses to it, though they're connected. The first one is to conceal or to hide something hidden. To hide something hidden. So it came to mean time hidden from man. Time hidden from man. And of course his age was hidden from man, wasn't it? Or it means time indefinite. Time indefinite. And if you have a Scofield Bible, I didn't write the notes down, but in Genesis 21:33, Scofield talks about this title, El Olam. And it's really good. So if you have a Scofield, look that up. And if not, someone will give it to you. Yes, 21:33. Let's read it, and then you can kind of get a thought on what it is. He's called there El Olam, the Everlasting God. This is 21:33. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba, the well of the oath, and call there on the name of the Lord, the Everlasting God, El Olam, the Father of Eternity. Abraham knew who this man was. Thank the Lord. All right, shall we go to the next one? The Prince of Peace, the last one. He's the author of conditions that involve everlasting, unbroken peace. He's the author of conditions that involve everlasting, unbroken peace. Prince of Peace means to have or to exercise dominion. Remember back in Exodus, the second chapter, this is one of the meanings of this Prince of Peace. This is when Moses went out and two men were striving, two Hebrews were striving together in the 13th verse, and he said to him that did the wrong, "Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow?" And he said, "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian?" Here he's, this is quoted over, I believe it's in John 1:11, I've that written in there, when they said about Jesus, "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us?" Oh, he came into his own and his own received him not. Just as Moses, they didn't receive Moses either, and they didn't receive Jesus Christ. A prince who removes all peace disturbing powers, that's who he is. He will remove all peace disturbing powers. Won't that be wonderful? And he will secure peace among the nations. Man can't do that today. Let's read a couple of scriptures. Let's start here in Isaiah, since we're here. Isaiah 57, verses 15 to 19. Anyone have any questions or thoughts as we're going through this? Read it all. I'm just going to tell you about it, and you can read it. But in this portion, we see a woman, a man's wife, who had gone aside, she, verse 12 says, "If a man's wife go aside and commit a trespass against him." This is what Israel did. This woman is the type here of Israel. They broke the covenant that God, that they made with God. They made a covenant. And she became an unfaithful wife, as this woman here in this fifth chapter of Numbers did. She was unfaithful. Israel is still unfaithful to God. And they broke the covenant, and they forsook him like this woman. And he wrote a bill of divorcement to them, as we're told in one of the prophets. Therefore, just like this woman had to drink this bitter waters of judgment. She had to drink this to find out if she had was unfaithful to her husband. This is what the nation Israel is going to do. She's going to have to drink these bitter waters of judgment because she has been unfaithful to her husband. Now, let's take it down to us today. Who in the church, among God's people, have taken other heads? They've been unfaithful to Christ. They've taken a head. They've got their direction from a person, from a board, from an organization, instead of this word. What is going to happen to them? They're going to have to drink bitter waters of judgment. Now, this is something that God wrote. This is a type that God wrote, and this is going to be fulfilled in the nation Israel as well as among his people in the church today. Every jot and tittle of this book is going to be fulfilled, and you can count on it. Everything that's written here is going to be fulfilled. God wrote it for a reason. Praise the Lord. So let's listen to it. Let's listen to him. Let's let him be our counselor. Let's let him be wonderful to us. Let's let him be our mighty God, our Prince of Peace, our eternal Father. He's that to us now. He can be, but he will be that to Israel in the future. Amen. All right. Any comments? Amen, Rick. Yeah. Hey, I got into this today, and it's like I couldn't quit.
I just had one when you were talking about fires in Colorado. you were in Isaiah 42, and you read 13, but verse 15 says, I will make waste mountains and hills, and dry up all their earth, and I will make the rivers islands, and I will dry up the seas.
And it's coming. It's happening here already. Judgment. Every dispensation has had an overlapping. You know, on the dispensation chart, you can see the circles overlap. We're in the overlapping today. We're that close to the coming of the Lord. Judgment started already. So we can expect to be taken home anytime. I almost hear the trumpet sometimes. Won't that be wonderful? Praise the Lord. And we're going to get into something further down in this ninth chapter too, that is along that line too, Linda. In this same chapter, that it's talk about plain talk. The Lord just he doesn't mince words when it comes to what he's going to do. Thank the Lord, because he isn't that. See, and it isn't really spoken to the church. It's spoken to Israel. For unto us, see, as we brought out last lesson, this is the remnant of Israel, really, he's speaking to here. But he does become this to us, too. But it's really spoken to Israel.
It was grace to us.
Right. He becomes this to us now. Primarily, though, it was written to Israel. But all scripture is given for our admonition to it. That mainly this is to Israel. He is wonderful. Praise the Lord. Wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me. Counselor, mighty God. What's the rest of that? Yeah. There's a song like that. Wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace. Mighty God is he. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. See, that goes right along with it. Kind of croaky, but it's